But part and parcel of the Seder, what we call the Seder, part and parcel of the night of Pesach is order. It's so intrinsic to the nature of the night that we adopted the term the Rishonim used for the text to define the night itself. And indeed, we observe well HaSeder. But Seder, order, is so intimate and so intrinsic to the night of Pesach that the most appropriate way to really go through the Haggadah is to discuss some of the Hanhagos we do on the night of the Seder, each one in of itself, beginning from Kadesh and going to Nirtza, and analyzing some of the lesser known aspects of each of these parts of the Seder. Begin, so my Rambam is in front of you, with Kadesh. Simple enough, we make Kiddush approximately 50 times a year. Yet, what's the most appropriate thing to use on the night of the Seder for the Dalet Kosos? You would think, well, what's the difference between the Dalet Kosos and the rest of Kiddush, the rest of the year? Rav Moshe Feinstein has a bit Kiddush, which is not recorded anywhere in his Idrus Moshe, anything Rav Moshe wrote himself, but it's recorded in Rav Moshe Feinstein's son's Haggadah, Rav David Feinstein, as they're called, Kol Dodi, and is in his Haggadah he writes that Rav Moshe was medayik from the following Gemara, the first source in front of you, that you should not use grape juice. And it's interesting, there was a bit pulmus about if you can use grape juice or not. Altogether, there's grape juice, Haggafen, or Shahakol. Rav Moshe held staunchly that grape juice is Haggafen, but even though grape juice is Haggafen, Rav Moshe said, grape juice is Haggafen, as it says in the bottle of Kedem, Kosher L'Kiddush, but not as it says in the bottle of Kedem, L'Arba Kosos, according to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was medayik from the first Mar Mokom. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, the Gemara which the Brisker Rav made famous, Shasan Chai. What if you drink wine, but it's not like wine in our days, it's wine that was very thick, and so alcohol intensive, that drinking itself was abnormal. It says the Gemara, if you drink this raw wine, wine that's not mixed properly with water, Amar Rava, Yidei Cheirus Lo Yotze. You're not Yotze the requirement of Cheirus. That is, you're Yotze Dalet Kosos B'Dieved, but the extra concept of Cheirus, the freedom you feel from Dalet Kosos, that you're not Yotze. So in the words of Rava, if you drink Dalet Kosos without mixing them with water, you're Yotze the bare bones mitzvah. But Cheirus, the additional level of what a person is supposed to feel on the night of the Seder, one does not maintain if having Dalet Kosos, if one uses for Dalet Kosos water, a wine that's not mixed with water. Says Rav Moshe, aha. So we see a paradigm in this Gemara of a situation where you can have wine, which is Yotzi B'Dieved, but it's not really so ideal. Says Rav Moshe, grape juice is the same, maybe even worse. A person can't use grape juice, certainly not with the strong chatzila, maybe very much with the b'dieved, for the night of the Seder. Because Rav Moshe says, imagine sitting back the night of the Seder and saying, ah, this is shmacha grape juice. Because Rav Moshe, doesn't happen. Since it doesn't happen, that's not real cheirus. You can't be yotze. And Rav Moshe even seems to say in the Haggadah that really, really only very much b'dieved should a person use it. Rav Moshe prefers mixing grape juice with at least a little bit of wine, because at least you have some alcohol. Alcohol means cheirus. Again, this is Rav Moshe's chiddush. Rav Moshe says, if the point of the Gemara is that you should feel cheirus, you don't really feel cheirus if you're not having the alcohol part of the wine and feeling the cheirus. In fact, they bring a riot to Rav Moshe Feinstein, because the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, the Rabbis like this as well, talks about different Tanaim and Amoraim that were very sick just from Dalet Kosos. Look, for example, in Source 2, the Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Yonah, Shasa Arbati Kasui Duel Kesra, he drank the four Kosos on the night of Pesach, the Chazik Reshe Ad Atzarta. His head hurt him until when? Atzarta is Shavuos. 7 straight weeks of headaches for having Dalet Kosos. Says Rav Moshe, and it could be those that were supporting Rav Moshe, it's hard to know because it's either in the Haggadah or those that Talmidim that quote this from Rav Moshe, I didn't understand. Let him just drink grape juice. why do they need to have headache from wine? Elamai, what do you see? It's better to use wine and have a headache than to use grape juice. Is that really such a raya? Not so pasha. The presumption, there's one presumption there. What's the presumption? What gave him the headache? It was specifically alcohol. Could have been some allergy to grapes or something else. That was, what else? What do you think?
Did they have grape juice back then?
Oh, okay. So that's all that thought. That's what you said also? That's what you said? So Rabbi Dinak has a sefer Dan Shoshanim. And in Schelet Beis Dan Shoshanim, Simon Chalfav, Rabbi Dinak quotes from Mr. Feivish Herzog. Feivish Herzog, of course, from which company? Kedem. Baron Herzog is Kedem, the biggest kosher wine company. That he says, no, there's no raya. Because according to the approach of Mr. Herzog, there was no such thing as grape juice. Because we know, what's the chag ha'asif? When do we gather our produce? Sukkos. Before the winter. Even Eretz Yisrael, Pesach's now already beginning of the spring. So for 6 months approximately, the wine must, the grapes are just sitting there, they'll either become vinegar or become wine. They're not going to be grape juice. So says Mr. Herzog, there's no raya necessarily. It could be my kedem OU is okay, partial with Kiddush, well, abricosos, why they have a headache? There was no grape juice then. So, okay, that's Mr. Herzog's presumption. There is a non-Jewish person who, the fascination that we have with wine and grape juice, Lahavdil, Eleth Alfi Abdullah, is not only unique to our true religion, there are those, Lahavdil, Bein Chaim Lemason, there are those that observe, that use wine for observances in their untrue religions. And in another religion, someone researched because of there was an issue that came up a while ago as far as using grape juice for their specific hanhagos. And there was this person who researched it, he found that it seems perhaps there were ways, even in the times of the Talmud and earlier, to preserve grape juice or grapes the entire winter. So, either way, Lefizeh, Mr. Herzog's Raya, who is Yishuv for Rav Moshe, would not exist necessarily, but either way, it's a fascinating discussion. Lamaisa, that's Rav Moshe's Kiddush. On the other side, we have the Rav, who brought a Raya from the Rambam, that perhaps the best thing to drink is grape juice. Says the Rambam, source 3. Arbat kosos ha'elu, these four tosos, tzarech limzog osan. You need to mix them, as the Gemara said. But says the Rambam, why? So that it should be a very pleasant experience. Each thing is based upon whatever grape you have, whatever wine it is, and your own preference. If you enjoy one as opposed to another, you should mix it the way you would like it. So according to the Rav's Medayi from the Rambam, what is the most important criterion for what you drink from the United States is? What you enjoy. So indeed, if you enjoy a delicious Cabernet Franc or a Cabernet Sauvignon Merlot blend, by all means have that. But if for you, the most ideal grape juice is Kedem Concord, Jishmak, then have that. Hakolofi das Hashosin. It's interesting, according to the Talmidim of the Rav had three of the Dalakosis himself of grape juice, at least at one point in his life. But the first, he had wine. Which one? Why the first? Because it's Kiddush. And the Rav maintained, based on a Diyuk in the Rambam, maybe some other Rishonim, that for Kiddush in general, Kiddush on Friday night the entire year, you should not use anything which is Mevushal. Grape juice, at least until recently, was Mevushal. So the Rav was Makbid not to use grape juice for the first one because he was Makbid not to use wine which was Mevushal for Kiddush of the Dalakosos. And there are some Kitzus Farim, both in Hebrew or English, they recommend using non-militia wine for the Dalakosos. But it's important to realize that's a very bad idea. Not because you never know where you are, if you're in a hotel, let's say, or something like that a person might touch it. One of the basic usodos in our shrof is that it's important to be consistent. So, yes, if a person's makbid every Friday night of the whole year, not to have mavusho, maybe it's tonight to be makbid on the night of the Seder. But if most of us are not makbid at all the entire year to have wine which is not mavushal for Friday night, which is more of an Indian for, so why should we bother being makbid on Dalakosos, which is the Rabbanon, even more tall than Friday night? So in the Kanami, it might be an Indian, but certainly not if we turn a blind eye to it the rest of the year, there's no reason to be makbid dafka for the Dalakosos. Let's presume, if you're a person that shtiyasa or reva love, you really, really enjoy wine instead of grape juice. how much wine do you need to drink? This is a major issue because the amount of wine we need to drink is revius. Yet, the concept of revius is disputed in the Gemara. There seems to be two different opinions in the Gemara as to what a revius is. One opinion, or one way of measuring it, is based upon thumbs. It's both. The other way of measuring it is based upon an egg. The Mishnah Berurah says that only for derises, or things that are like derises, we need to be machmir on the larger shear which comes from thumbs, which is 2 by 2 by 2.7 thumbs. But for the Rabbanon, such as dalakosos, we can be makel using eggs. How's that? So revius is, by definition, 1.5 eggs. Revius is a quarter of a log. A log is 6 eggs, 6 beitzim, which means revius is 1.5 beitzim. What's a beitzim? So people went to do experiments. And some Talmidim of Rav Moshe Feinstein did experiments, and they measured a lot of eggs, but using water displacement, you drop the egg in, and you see the water come out, how much water came out. So at first, in the first editions of the Kol Dodi Haggadah, they came out with 3.3 fluid ounces for the water displacement based upon eggs. Which is why Artscroll, in the very first ventures, and it could be even some of the Haggadahs that you might have at home, Artscroll Haggadah writes, for Friday night, which is the more macher opinion, use the thumbs. Thumbs comes out to 4.42 fluid ounces. But for, and that's only for Friday night, or for Kiddush on Friday night of the Seder as well. But for all dalakosos, and certainly for Kiddush Shabbos day, use the lesser shear, 3.3 fluid ounces. That was the first edition, the first experiments done in the Kol Dodi Haggadah that Rav David Feinstein wrote. Then another Talmud did better experiments, which Rav Shimon Eider records in his beautiful Sefer Halachos of Pesach, and they came up with 2.9 fluid ounces. 2.9 fluid ounces is much less. And Artscroll, I have not seen update their specific Artscroll instructions. I think they still might write 3.3. But in theory, even according to that, it would be 2.9. Comes along Rabbi Yisrael Pinchas Badner from Lakewood, who wrote the beautiful book Halachos of Tzayis, the one that sometimes if you read it and you're hungry, you can sometimes eat the food for the page, you know, those life-size pictures. So Rav Badner writes that he decided, I'm not just going to do experiments myself. I'm going to actually be mavarer things, empirical evidence. How you mavarer the size of eggs? Call up the United States Department of Agriculture and the Egg Board. And they seemed to clarify that beyond the shadow of a doubt, the average egg in America, which is called large, but that's the average size egg, is 1.87 fluid ounces. Lefizeh, 1.5 eggs comes out to 2.805 or 2.81 fluid ounces. Which means, lechatchila, the toast you use on the night of the Seder only needs to have 2.81 fluid ounces. Way less than this cup of coffee. 2.81 fluid ounces. And halacha is b'dieved, how much do you need to drink for the toast? Rove, 51%. 51% of 2.81 is mamish. Nothing. 1.5. If you want to be machmir, you can drink the whole thing. Still, less than 3 ounces. So, it's important to realize when we talk about drinking grape juice or wine, for many people the reason they decide to drink grape juice as opposed to wine is because they're concerned about how much alcohol they're going to have. Well, you need to have next to nothing. Especially if you use Tancred, Cal, or even a Cabernet, 12%. 12% of 3 ounces of wine, it's nothing. The problem is if you did a bigger toast, then you need to have more wine. You need to have rove toast of whatever toast you have. That's, on the night of the Seder, you have to drink rove. It's based on the toast, not just from Lulutmov. You have to drink rove of the coast. So you had a small coast. A few years ago, I went to Amazing Savings and got demitasse cups. Demitasse cups are 3-ounce cups, which I use the night of the Seder. Kosher, lichat, chila, that is perhaps the best way. Happens to be I enjoy the wine, but if you have too much wine, it can go to your head. So 2.81 full ounces, 3 ounces has enough for shefa. Moving on.
That's the measurement of the revius?
That's revius. Yeah. That's Rav Badner's research. On empirical evidence, 2.81 fluid ounces, 2.805. Moving on to Urchatz. Urchatz is a very interesting phenomenon. Perhaps some of you are aware of the fact that if machlokas in general, if you should wash hands for the rest of the year, if you wash an apple, do you eat an apple only after washing your nefilas d'ayim also. Let's get to the bottom of this machlokas. What's pshat? What's the issue going on as far as urchatz? Why do we wash after the night of the Seder? Should we wash the rest of the year? So very briefly, the Mishnah says in Maseches Parah, it's also a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, the Yudalid, that we know that min haTorah, levels of tumah, There's Aviavos, Av, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. Everything always goes down in Tumah. But Chazal made a very interesting phenomenon that Midrabanan, they made Yadayim. Because Yadayim, hands are used for many different things, Chazal made a totally Drabanan Takana that our hands are considered Sheni Otumah. Now it's obviously only Drabanan because they didn't make us our entire bodies Tumah, it's only our hands. And in Minat Torah, you can't have something which is, you can't have a part of a person be Tumah. It's almost like electricity, it goes straight. But they said that our Yadayim, only our hands, are Shnios Otumah. Not only that, our Yadayim or Shnios, the way we get rid of that is by not by going to the mikvah, by washing the Tios Yadayim. What if I don't do it? So the Mishnah says, Chazal made another Gzeira. The Gzeira is anything which is Sheni, anything which is a second level of Tumah, if it touches water or any other liquid, makes the liquid back into a Rishon. Reverse. Hands are a Sheni, level 2, touches water. What happens to the water or the beverage? Becomes back to a Rishon. Now, obviously, that's not Minat Torah, because Minat Torah, Tumah usually goes down or maybe stays the same. It doesn't go up. But Midrabanan Chazal said, number one, that our hands are considered Sheni or Tumah. Number two, if they touch liquid, liquid is Rishon. That's the Mishnah Maseches Parah. Kala Posos, a Truma, whatever makes Truma, Posos, whichever is a Sheni, makes Mashkin Tchila. Tchila meaning the beginning, back to being a Rishon. Because of that, we have the din that im ochel davar shetibo b'mashke, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you eat something which is dipped in one of the seven types of beverages, you need to wash. Not so pashut. So Rashi and Tosos have a discussion in Tosos in Surah 7. What's going on in the night of the Seder? It seems that we do see echoes in the Gemara of the requirement to wash if you touch something which is wet, whether it's a wet apple, a donut dipped in coffee, Dunkin' Donuts, quite literally. You have to wash. What's pshat? This machlokas Rashi tells us why it is that you need to wash. So we already established the fact that my hands become sheni, and then the water becomes rishon. But what does that have to do with you and I? Says Tosus, Rashi seems to say, source 7, Perish Bertrunchris, that since if I touch liquid, it makes it back into a sheni. So in the third line, in the bold there, in source 7, Havu Gohanuch Peros, Kmonahama. Any fruits you eat are like bread, and if I touch wet fruit, my hands are sheni. Water is a rishon. What happens to the fruit? If it becomes sheni, Chazal said, Midrabanan, it's not right to eat things that are tummy. So just like I wash for bread, says Rashi, I have to wash for all fruits, always. That's the approach of Rashi. Bitzarech litzol k'mo b'nahama. I need to wash my hands always, just like when I eat bread. I have to wash for bread beforehand. So according to Rashi, quoted in Tosfos Maseches Pesachim, there's a requirement to wash my hands the night of the Seder, as there's a requirement for the rest of the year. In fact, the Seder is a proof for the rest of the year. Hands are a sheni, water becomes rishon, that makes the water on the apple makes is a rishon, the apple is a sheni, I shouldn't eat a sheni l'tumah. Says Tosfos, hold on a second. Hold on. Rashi, we're living in Tafshin Ayin Gimel. Or, Tosfos lived a few years before that. There's no Tumah Tara nowadays. We're not makbid on this. So it tells us there's a chumrah, the night of the Seder, perhaps be like Kachim, to wash as if it were in the Beis HaMikdash. But in reality, there's no halacha that you need to wash altogether on the rest of the year. Don't bring me a riot from the night of the Seder. But it's fascinating. The night of the Seder was a point of contention between Rashi and the Baal Tosos. Does that prove we actually need to wash the rest of the year or not? Rashi says yes. Hands are a sheni. Water on the apple or water on the karpas is rishon, and the karpas is a sheni. I shouldn't eat sheni l'tumah. So Tosos says no. There's no problem eating sheni l'tumah nowadays. We're all tummy nowadays. No problem. Therefore, we do it only on the night of the Seder. It's a once a year phenomenon. Says Tosos, the Sedarim, which is what he called the Haggadahs, have to be amended. In most of the Haggadahs I have around, Tosos says you should wash with a bracha. No. Wash without a bracha. There's no requirement to wash the night of the Seder. It's dafka because we have an extra kedusha, Tosefes kedusha, for the night of the Seder. There's no need to wash any other time. But says Rosh Hashanah Arbach, he gave Shirim few years before his Nifter in Tal Torah, once about the entire Seder. It's printed in a Kuntres, a kovetz called Mevachshei Torah. They put a special version of Mevachshei Torah. It's a beautiful Torah Kuntres that comes out in Eretz Israel from time to time. Put out a two-volume Sefer on Hilchos Pesach and in Yonei Pesachim. So they quote, they have a drasha there from Rosh Hashanah Arbach. He says perhaps that's why we dafka have Kadesh Urechatz. There's a vav before the word Urechatz. It's supposed to Rachza. What's Urechatz? So the Shema Zaman, the word Urechatz is number one, it's telling us we connect. Kadesh Urechatz. We should become Kadosh and wash after tonight, because we're Kadosh as opposed to the rest of the year. Only tonight, no other time. Kadesh Urechatz. And also, we specifically have it, B'loshon Sivui. It's supposed to Rachza, which means washing. Urechatz, wash, means, yeah, do something strange, you don't do the rest of the year. Two drushos, Rosh Hashanah puts, based upon the Rishonim's idea of Urechatz, as opposed to Rachza.
So if during the year, if you like touch like somewhere on your body that's normally covered from your hand, you don't have to wash before you eat food.
Well, there might be another problem in such a situation as far as the bracha is concerned. Meaning, as far, if you touch a malchum which is usually a zeya, then you should really wash because of the bracha.
Because you're saying bracha.
Right, but aside from the bracha, according to, and also it would have to be something wet. Uh-huh. You know, according to Rashi and Tosfos, the whole concept exists with something wet, which means what if you're a finicky person, you spend thousands and thousands of dollars to go to a hotel, you buy a lot of fancy clothing because we know you go to hotels often more to be seen than to see, and then all of a sudden you're going to sit there at the Seder dipping your karpas with your hands. No, you use a nice fork to dip the potato or the karpas. That's so pashut. The whole point is that your hands are wet. Your hands aren't wet, not so pashut. Perhaps it's better to be makbut, to use your hands. There's room to say that it's okay the other way also, but that Pasha says best. Yes. Question? Yes.
If the
Rishon
was
Zaman,
the Kaddish is
Al Kachim
or
Al Where
special?
No, that's the Sifat of Vartan Al-Dhamma to say for Mesh Efer, that's based upon Kachim. He just says, it's Tosef Kedusha. So it's just be more Kaddish. So we do that. The Karpas, verse 8 and 9, is a very interesting reason. Why do we do it? So the tour has the catch-all reason. Anything we don't know what we do on the night of the Seder is because Kadesh HaYishul, we don't have anyone to ask. So the tour says, we do it in order to make things look different for the kids, in order that they should ask. The Bach, though, says, no, why do we dip karpas? Derech Herus. We like dipping. Tonight I gave my kids pizza for supper. So to my kids, Dafka wants a ketchup on their pizza. I never understood the idea of ketchup on pizza, because the whole idea is that pizza comes with the protein and the salad, with the tomato sauce, and the starch. But you have tomato sauce. Why do you need to put the pizza into ketchup? That's a good question. I never did it, but the minhag of two of my kids was Dafka to dip pizza in ketchup. Lamaisa says the Bach, not necessarily pizza and ketchup, certainly no pizza at the night of the Seder, but by dipping, we show chayrus. So this is a Haggadah of Rinas Yitzchak from Rav Yitzchak Saratzkin from Tells. Bittam Chacham wrote many Sfarim on Tanakh and other parts of Torah. He writes, there are two different menhagim which already exist in the Rishonim, and you might even see in different families. Do you do haseba for karpas or not? When you eat karpas, do you do haseba? So Lechora, he said, is telling this machokas between the Torah and the Bach. Is that karpas just something we do to make kids ask? There's no intrinsic reason, or is it derech cherus? If it's derech cherus, well, how you should eat it when you're leaning, because that's part of the general approach of cherus. On the other hand, if it's something which we do just because, there's no need dafka to lean. Yachatz, the Gemara quotes in Maseches Pesachim, it appears twice in Maseches Pesachim, once towards the beginning, Lamed Vav, and once towards the end, that the matzah is called lechem oni, bread of affliction. We usually change it as bread of affliction. But the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, my favorite Amaruk, that's my first name, says, Shmuel, what is lechem oni? Two pshatim. Lechem oni, lechem sh'onim alav dvarim harbe. Famous approach means, it comes from the Lashon Aniyah. We're oni, we talk a lot on the matzah. Rashi explains, we say Hallel, Haggadah, on the matzah. And then the second approach in the Gemara Devar Acher, Lechem Oni, Oni Psiv. Ma Oni Darka Befrusa. So too, we have the bread that we break, matzah is a poor man's bread, it's broken. With these two approaches, we can understand perhaps an interesting kolbo quoted in the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef says in Source 11, talks about kolbo, haminog is a specific minog to divide the matzah very early in the Seder. If you look in the Rambam's Haggadah, the Rambam says, when do you divide matzah? You break the matzah right before you eat it, way at the end of the Haggadah, at the end of Matid. But our minog, of course, is when do we break the matzah? Halach ma'anya, hold it up, halach ma'anya. So, that's a minog quoted in the Beis Yosef from the Kolbo, one of the late Ashkenazi Rishonim. The minog is to divide it before the Haggadah. Why? We should say halach ma'anya on the bread which is broken. So what is the Kolbo telling us? The Pashtus, the Kolbo is telling us, one of the two reasons for one of the two definitions of lechem oni is lechem of which is broken, poor man's bread. In order to say halach ma'anya, this is the bread of a poor man, this is the bread of affliction, we break it. Well, the Chorah is still strange. Why do they say halach ma'ani at the beginning of the Seder? We could have done like the Rambam. We could have waited till the end of the Seder, the end of Magid, said halach ma'anya, and broken the matzah right before we eat it. So the fact that halach ma'anya is said at the beginning of the Seder is still strange. I understand we break the matzah in order to say halach ma'anya on a broken piece of bread. But still, why do we say halach ma'anya at the very beginning of the Seder? So Yitzhak Sarestin points out, here also L'chora, it seems the minhag of Ashkenaz is, we try to be choshish for both opinions, quoted in the Gemara. We have shot number one of lechem oni, is lechem that we say a lot of things on. Shot number two is that it's bread of affliction. So L'chora, the minhag in Klal Yisrael, to break the matzah at the very beginning of the Seder, is that halach ma'anya should accomplish both. It's bread of, number one, bread of affliction, because we break it, lechem oni, lechem that the, just like oni has only pieces of bread. And number two, it's lechem oni she'onim olav zvarim harbe. That's why you say halach ma'anya, to break the bread and have both the concept of being onim olav, speak about it, say the Haggadah on the matzah, as well as oni darka b'frusa. In fact, Rabbi Yitzchak Sarestin is so into this idea, he wants to argue in the Primer Dan. The Primer Dan says, what if you only have two matzos? If you break one of them at the beginning of the Seder, then you won't have lechem mishnah. So what do you do? He says, the Primer Adam says in Simitzah Hayin Hey that you should wait till the end, stop, say halach ma'anya, or break it later. It's only a minute to break it now. Says Yitzchak Sarestin, it's the Chiddush, he says, L'chora, if real chat in the minute, we try to keep both chatim in the Gemara, lechem she'onim alav, that we say a lot on, and that we have ani, only has scraps of bread, maybe it's not just a minute, it's a strong din, perhaps you should always break it in the beginning of the Seder, even if you only have two pieces of matzah. It's a Chiddush. You should argue with the Chiddush, but it does show you the strength of the minog to try to keep both approaches quoted in the Gemara as far as halach ma'anya, as far as what lechem oni is. Next, Magid. Magid, of course, holds the center stage for the night of the Seder. And for all of us in this room, we look forward, I'm sure, to mitzvah Magid. But what about half of the adults in Klal Yisrael? What about Noshim? Are women chayalos in Magid? This is a discussion in the Rambam, it's unclear of Sefer Mitzvos and the Rambam himself, but the Sefer Chinuch seems to say, Mitzvos, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, Nohedes, Sacharim, Ubenetevos, applies to both. Adkan Zvarev doesn't explain why. Why should it be that it applies to both men and women? This happens to be Machokas within the family. In Kovitz Chuvas, they quote Machokas between Rebbe Yashiv and the Stipler as to why it is that there is a mitzvah for women of Magid on the night of the Seder. According to the Stifler, it's not a real mitzvah of Magid. The Stifler says, you know, Pshat, this is a function of the matzah. As we mentioned, matzah, one of the definitions of matzah is that matzah is matzah that we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim on. Lechem oni, we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim on the matzah. So imagine if a woman is going to eat matzah without talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim on it, that's not really matzah. But imagine matzah needs flour, water, and Yitzias Mitzrayim on it. If there's no Yitzias Mitzrayim on the matzah, or at least something to that effect, then it's not matzah. So it's not because she needs to have Yitzias Mitzrayim per se. It's because of the matzah. What would happen then if Chas V'Shalom, a woman couldn't eat matzah, or she was stuck in a place without matzah? Would she have a mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim? No. It was according to the stipler. The only reason that a woman, this is the stipler quoted by Rabbi Yashiv in Tavitz Shuvas. The only reason to have to say the Magid is for the matzah. So Rabbi Yashiv, I don't accept that. That means if there's no matzah, there's no Magid. It's not Mestaber. That doesn't mean to be Pshat in Sefer Chinuch. So Rabbi Yashiv, I'll tell you Pshat. You know why? Because really, the women, of course, were redeemed from Mitzrayim. You want to tell me, what's the reason to say women should not be chayelos in the mitzvah of Sifat Yisrael Mitzrayim? Why would you think women aren't chayelos? Zman drama. It's a time-related mitzvah. Says Rabbi Yashiv, when is the mitzvah of Zman drama idea started? Only with Matan Torah. But Mike, when are they told they have to talk about Yisrael Mitzrayim? And they left Mitzrayim. Before Matan Torah, Mele the Chiv already was calling them prior to Matan Torah. That's why the Chiv was talking about Yisrael Mitzrayim. Kiddush? That's what Rabbi Yashiv says.
According to Rabbi Yashiv, right, doesn't the Torah say the reason why women are chayim in shmiras is because kol sheyesh no be... The only reason why the chayim is chayim is because kol sheyesh no be shmira, right? But according to Rabbi Yashiv, then we learn by paro to have a mitzvah Shabbos.
Right, it's a good kashas. So you have to say that somehow might be only part of Shabbos, wasn't the specific tzivui. You have to try to be aman of that, but it's a good har. It's a bit kiddush altogether. And it's hard to understand that other Rishonim don't seem to say what Sefer Chinuch. This is their pshat within the family, Mechutanim, what pshat is in the Sefer Chinuch.
He was saying that the women became
chayim
before
Matan Torah? That's what it sounds like. We, like in the Chodesh, we talk about...
Isn't the Rambam right in
Perish Mishnayis
that
the Smilo
is
the
nothing's
right. Chayim? Right, so Drut Pasha, what's pshat is once Matan Torah? Right.
Drut Pasha.
That's what he suggests pshat is in the Sefer Chinuch. So we went through the whole Magid. Everyone did Harez Meshubach, and then we get to Rachza. You wash your hands. The Rachza is very strange. If we went through Urchatz, we already washed your hands. You said it's a Seder the entire time, saying beautiful Divrei Torah, being turning the house, as the Rav used to say, turning the house into a Beis Medrash. Then why do you need to wash again? So this is not so pashut. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, both in Mishnah Berurah and in Bir Halakha and Simchat Chayin Hei, that's where he has most of the end of the Dinei Seder, that we're concerned, Chayshin Hashem Hasiach Das, so maybe a person was Masiach Das, maybe the very fact that you had a long Magid meant you scratched your head, you scratched some place of your body that's covered, went to the bathroom, that's where we wash again. Lufi Zed, Mishnah Berurah says, what if you're a person who has the tremendous zuchus of being in the Israeli army? You have a 10-minute Seder, because you know that you have a shift, unfortunately, then you have to take over for someone else. So 10-minute Seder, is there any Hesach Adas between Magid and Rachza? Nebuch. There's no way to be Marba, because they have other Zuchuyos to protect Kal Yisrael, which means that there should be no reason to wash with the Bracha for Rachza. They just wash for Urchas, then they don't need to wash for Rachza again. This is not so pashut, because the Shulchan Aruch says, there's a famous discussion, what if I go to the bathroom, and I decide right after I go to the bathroom, and I wash the Tefillos Daim after I go to the bathroom, then 2 minutes later, I decide I'm going to eat bread. Do I wash for Hamotzi with the Bracha? So the Shulchan Aruch says, this is my focus, Source 14, back at Hilchos Tefillos Daim. Not till Yadav Vadavar Shetibo V'mashtif. I washed for something which is only supposed to be dipped in water. Certainly if I washed for going to the bathroom. Back up, Rota Lecha Lechem, then you want to eat bread. Yeshmi Shinir Mitzvarev, some say Shein Osinatila Olulo. Some say the Natila which for fruits, which was not a chiyuv, does not help the Natila for bread. Lefizeh, even if you are in Eretz Yisrael, you wash for Urchat, which is for fruits. Then you wash for bread, you have to wash again. Nothing to do with Hesach Hadas, because you can't count a Natila's Daim of no chiyuv for a Natila's Daim then of chiyuv. However, the Shulchan Aruch says in the non-bold parts of Source 14, Lamaisa, some say that Tefillos Daim does count. Therefore, you should not make a bracha. If you are in a situation you washed for a non-chiyuv, then you are going to eat right away. Don't make a bracha. Therefore, the Bir Halacha says, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, or he's talking to someone as a Rosh Seder, you know you're not Masiach Das, you wash Urchatz, then you're up to Rachza, and you know you're not Masiach Das, you should really either not make a bracha, or scratch yourself in a way that you make yourself have a chiyuv to make a bracha, because otherwise, you have two problems. Number one, there's no Hesach Hadas, which distracts you from Urchatz to Rachza. And according to some, the washing of Urchatz, which is for Peros, counts for Lechem, and therefore, you should make yourself 15. And Nachman Shabbat Ofen Zeh, Yitame Yadav. Get rid of the discussion. Just make sure your hands are Tameh. Padman and Tiwa, if you have in order to be able to make the bracha. Yes.
I think there's a whole other discussion whether you're going bracha and tzricha on this. Do we pass and it's not a problem?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's hard to know. So lechara, since there's so many sveichos, the Mishmur seems to say, it's enough to just to get me over the top. But yeah, it's a very good hara. Why it's that's not fair. We'll daven ma'ariv here. We'll stop at 10 minutes. We'll daven ma'ariv here. Everyone's into daven ma'ariv here?
Yeah.
Okay? Good, okay. Good enough? Okay, next. The motzi. The Rush puts a very interesting discussion. Machlokes Rishonim, how many matzos have the night of the Seder? It's well known. Most people have three matzos the night of the Seder. Vilna Gaon had two. But it's really much earlier than Hasidim and Vilna Gaon. The Rush throws two opinions. The Pesach of Rechon Alach HaSuprusos. The Rush quotes some Rishonim that say that it's enough to have one and a broken one. Why? Because says the Rush, the entire concept of the night of the Seder is Lechem Oni. It's so important. Lechem Oni trumps the idea of having Lechem Mishnah. We have Lechem Oni, by definition, means a strap of bread. It's better to have a strap, which is one, and a strap, than to have Lechem Mishnah like you do the rest of Yontif. So one could say, Nishtana Laila Zemikala Lelos. Says the Rush, no, V'lo Nira. The Maishna Pesach in Lechem Mishnah, Mishar Tol Yom Tovim. Why should Pesach be any different? We should instead make sure to have two Shleimim plus a broken one, which is why the Minhag in Klal Yisrael became like this approach of the Rush in most places in Klal Yisrael to have two for Lechem Mishnah as well as one for Matzah, not to say that the Lechem Oni trumps it, but the having of the Rush and what some Rishonim are saying last term is fascinating. Lechem Oni is so important for the night of the Seder, it actually is going to undermine the din of Lechem Mishnah we have during the rest of the year. If you go to any supermarket, some supermarkets, I don't think Key Food in Washington Heights, but some supermarkets give you, if you spend enough money, $100, which is not so hard in fruit food before Pesach, you get a free 5 pound pack of matzah, and of course it's not necessarily matzah shmura, but you can have free matzah. There's matzah with different hashtachos, there's 18 minute matzah, there's shmura matzah. So many different types of matzahs exist, which are, you can almost be confused as far as what's the best to buy. And 18 minute matzah to me was always the most confusing. What's 18 minute matzah? Isn't every matzah different in 18 minutes? Come on. Is it chametz or is it matzah? So let's go briefly through the different types of matzah that exist on the market, which are nodeh for the night of the Seder. The pasuk says, of course, Ushmartem es hamatzah, Surah 17, we read in Parashat Chodesh, there's a chiyuv to watch the matzah, not only mitzvot, but matzos, you have to watch them. What does it mean to watch them? Machlokes Rishonim. The simple pshat in the Gemara, and this is the way most Rishonim seem to say, Ushmartem es hamatzos, the fact you need to watch the matzah means, matzah shemeres l'shei matzah, l'shma. I went to Shatzer Matzah Factory last Friday, the woman that are rolling it out, as well as when I had this course of doing Lisha, we all say, L'shem matzos mitzvah, L'shma. L'shma, like many other mitzvahs, tzitzis, other mitzvahs, you have to make it L'shma. That's the pshat in the Gemara. The Rambam says, no way, I'll be a super litvach here. What is pshat in L'shma? L'shma does not mean you have to have kavana, just means, says the Rambam, it has to be, I make sure that I watch it, that it's not going to have chametz. Doesn't mean I need to imbue it with L'shma, it means I need to have super watching. Make sure there's no chametz. So it's Shmira is Machokas Rishonim. What does it mean? Rov Rishonim seems to say Shmira means I watch it, making sure that there's no that watching it means that I make sure it's made L'shma. Rambam says no, it means you have to watch it from Chimutz. Two different approaches. The Rambam says not only do I hold it means you have to watch it from Chimutz, I hold it's not true for Matzah. It's not an idea of Matzah for the night of the Seder, L'shem Matzah's Mitzvah. It's L'shem Achila and Pesach. Any flour eaten on Pesach. And in theory, we're Machman not to do this, but in theory, we would make cake or cookies from flour, and we really made sure that it was baked cookies so it doesn't become chametz. Rambam says even that needs to have shimur l'shem matzah, because what does l'shem matzah mean according to Rambam? Doesn't mean l'shma, just means to make sure that no chametz happens. Rambam says shmura is a very basic, non-emotional idea, just watch it. According to other Rishonim, it means no, you have to make it l'shma. So l'maisa, this is the source for those that are makmir. Some people are makmir to have shmura the entire Pesach, because they hold l'shma is not for the matzah's mitzvah, it's not l'shma, it's for anything you're having on Pesach. Therefore, whatever I'm eating that is of grain made from flour on Pesach needs to have l'shma. That's machlokas as far as shemura altogether. And then, even within shemura, there are the Rambam is the one who says l'shitato that shemura means an extra level of watching all the way mishas katsira. However, there are some that say, as the Shulchan Aruch questions machlokas rishon, what does it mean? Some say Mishas Ksira from the time of Tarvis, and others say no, it means Mishas Lisha, when you pour the water in, and the Mishavur says, you know, compromise is Mishas Tchina, at least from the time that you grind it. So three approaches. Even if you say Shmira, you need to watch it carefully, does it mean from the time of just the Lisha, What I did on Friday, I just poured in the water. Elisha means kneading, literally means pouring the water into the flour. Does it mean clean up from the time that it's ground, or all the way back from the time that it's harvested? Lamaisa, the Kukharif says it's best to have at least Mishas Tchina, if you can to Mishas Ksira. But with the advent, as long as it's Mishas Elisha, with the Shulchan Aruch calls Me'ashuk, you can buy it from the store. Nowadays, you can't buy from this store because we have a concern of Chametz. But in those days, the things were just made by the local farmer. There was no water that touched the wheat. You can buy average wheat and just do Lishma from the time of the Elisha, which means Halach L'maisa, any matzah sold in any store, by Harvest Margaretin, by Streitz, by Yehuda, by any other company, Geffen, any matzah which is kosher Pesach is also kosher for the Seder B'diyad, which means the average person having a Seder across the USA is doing the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, even though it's not Shmura. Why? Because B'diyad, you only need Shmura Mishas Lisha. Every matzah factory, by definition, is doing Shmura Mishas Lisha. They're making a kosher Pesach for use on Pesach. If it says not Pesach for use, then you can't use it, and there's more than one reason you can't use it, it's also Chametz. But if it says for Pesach for use, that means by definition, B'diyad, that is usable by anyone in the United States, which is very refreshing, because many people are not matzah on Shmura. They can use any matzah, even free matzah they get from a supermarket for the night of the Seder. In point of fact, most matzah factories even make sure that it's Mishas Tchina. They even do it. They watch. They don't buy wheat or grain. They don't buy flour on the market. They'll make sure it's used specifically that it's not Chametz Tzedek. But in theory, even if it didn't do that, the fact that it's made for Pesach means that it's at least Mishas Lisha, which is B'dievet enough. What about machine matzah? There are some that are makbid B'dafra on the night of the Seder to use machine matzah. They don't fit very well in the round karos that have matzahs under them. And many people are makbid adapted to use hand matzah. Why are some makbid adapted to use machine matzah? Because if you go to any hand factory, as punctilious as they are, it's even better to use machines. Machines don't make mistakes. Machines are even more makbid on chametz. However, there are some that are opposed to that. There was a bit machokas that existed in Europe around 150 years ago when machine matzahs was first made. Can you have a machine do something with shema? The halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says, you can't have a kid do it, you try to make it lishma. So is a machine doing it lishma? That's a pashut. Machine has no das. Machine is worse than a cheresh of the katan, but machine has a doddle that presses the button. So is the button good enough? If you set up a system, is that enough to say it's lishma? Not so pashut, but that's a bid machok as it exists. Some say machine, some say hand. What about 18-minute matzah? 18-minute matzah was invented by Rav Aaron Salvechev Zatzal, who said, you know what? We have an extra chumra we can have in matzah. If a person, the halacha is, what if chametz that's mixed into matzah before Pesach? Or chametz that's mixed into something before Pesach? Well, focus in Shulchan Aruch, if we say chozer v'nir, does it come alive again? And even though it was bottled before Pesach, does it come back again on Pesach? Machokas in Shulchan Aruch. We try to be mapped that it does indeed come back. So Rav Aaron Salvechev had this chumra when he was asked by Rav Machshir in Streitz way back many years ago. His chav was that specifically you take the matzah and every 18 minutes you stop the machines and start it over again. You clean it and start it over again. Or you have matzah which is made only the first 18 minutes of a cycle. Why? Because if the factory is running for 3 hours, let's say, before it takes a break, by definition, there might be some matzah from an hour ago, a tiny bit, which is in the rollers, which has stuck in. Now it's batzah. It's definitely mutter. But since the Shulchan Aruch says, we try to have matzah, this idea called chozer v'nir, that anything which is batzah comes back and wakes up again on Pesach, then that little bit of matzah, of chametz, might wake up on Pesach. So if you have, we know the entire shift was only 18 minutes, then what we call 18-minute matzah, then you have an extra chumra for the matzah. It's not the way the matzah is made as far as the wheat, it's the way it's made as far as the factory. That's why it says chayu daim, 18 minutes, that's the chumra of 18-minute matzah. Maror. Many people, if you ask your grandparents, you might find out that when it was more common to use horseradish for maror, most people probably had a bit of horseradish. They didn't have a lot, only a bit. But b'maisa, we know that if you want to have a kazayis of horseradish, kazayis is a pretty significant amount, pretty hard to do. In fact, I saw a journal study today that, in a secular medical journal, that points out how many casualties there are. People have to go to the emergency room, unfortunately, the night of the Seder because of having improper eating habits. So, in theory, if you're going to have a lot of horseradish, that's not so easy. Nowadays, there's romaine lettuce. In fact, the friend of Schefter, Schefter points out from a talmud of his, Arthur Schaefer, in the 80s, wrote an article in a journal called Gesher. You can find it on Google Scholar, if you'd like, that talks about the fact that it seems that in reality, the minhag of having horseradish is a much more recent minhag. It might not even be one of the five quoted in the Mishnah. For Maror, it's better perhaps not to have horseradish. Separate discussion, but Lamaisa, the nowadays you have romaine lettuce, much easier to have a shear. But what if you wanted horseradish? And I'm willing to guarantee most of your grandparents remember Sedarim where people just had a little bit of horseradish. Is there a way to be miyashir at the minute of having just a little bit of horseradish, a tiny bit, for the night of the Seder or not? It seems the Rush would defend this. The Rush says, sort of. Says the Rush, you must have a kazayis of maror. Why? Mishum de mevarach al achilas maror. Since you make a brach of al achilas maror, what is achila in halacha? Achila is a kazayis. What does he not say? Because that's the mitzvah. He just says, why do you have to make a bracha? Why do you need to eat a kazayis of maror? Because you're making a bracha of al achila. He doesn't say, because that's the mitzvah. Which would mean, if in theory, let's say, like in the olden days, the grandfather is leading the Seder, and says all the brachos, everyone just says amen, and then eats it. The grandfather says, al achilas maror. Maybe he'll eat a kazayis of horseradish, but everyone else around just says amen. They're going to eat a little bit, because the Rush seems to say, Be'etzem, as far as the mitzvah of achilas maror, you can eat less than a kazayis. Only for the bracha, if you're not making the bracha, you just said amen, perhaps enough to eat less than a kazayis, perhaps. Also, the same as malchokas, nowadays is a very important time to eat, drink a lot of starch, because if you're makbid on nasa and chametz gomor, perhaps you should drink a lot of starch. So if anyone is drinking a lot of starch tonight, then you don't need to listen to salacha. I mean, what if you drink just a little starch tonight? So the machlokas magen avraham and Taz, if you drink a little starch, just one shot, make brain fashos or not. The Taz says yes, make a brain fashos on even a shot less of starch. Why? That's the normal shear to drink starch. Comes along the magen avraham in front of you, the magen avraham says no. In Simcha Kavsa Alis, verse 19, it's not true. Even though B'Purta Miyasva Daita, it's normal to drink a little bit of starch. Chazal said, what is the shear of drinking starch? Shear is the same shear as all beverages. A revius. Therefore, if you don't drink a revius, you're not going to make a brain of fashos. But Lamaisi, you see the Taz, not like this Magna Ram, Taz says that for starch, even one shot of it is a starch is enough for brain of fashos. Lefizeh, what's the normal amount of marar, of grain to eat for marar? Tiny bit. One might say that is considered normal achila. You're right. For other things, you need a kazayis. But for chrein, it is only to eat a little bit. That would be enough for the night of the Seder, perhaps. So again, it's best to have a lot of romaine lettuce, that's kazayis, achila. But two ways of being yashir, the min of ha'olam that probably exists in some situations still now. Many had a while ago to eat less than a kazayis for more. What about karech? So karech, the Mishnah Berurah is a very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch says, you say, Zechem with the Shtehillel, source 20, you say that. Mishnah Berurah is very bothered. Why it is that we say Zechem Kosh Tehillel Kasha? Halo Amira Zu Have Hefsek. How do I? We know it's in vogue. The Shulchan Aruch tells us Mishnah Berurah seems to say you should not talk between Matzah Marar Karech until Shulchan Aruch, because we want the bracha until Matzah Marar to go in Karech. Says Mishnah Berurah, then why do I say Zechem Kosh Tehillel? That's talking. Kasha. Halo Amira Zu Have Hefsek. But Lamaisa, even though that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, he's not sure why we do it. Lamaisa, we do it. There are those who quote the Mishnah Berurah says one should not say Zerach Mitzvah Shilah, have a minute to say Zerach Mitzvah Shilah only afterwards, that it shouldn't be Hefsif. L'chora, Mishnah Berurah was bothered why we do it, but he didn't go that far. Mishnah Berurah says you still do it, just not sure why it is that it is so. Shulchan Aruch, for some people, the most important part of the night of the Seder. Halacha is you should not eat Achila Dasa, 22. Don't eat too much. What's achilu dasa? Says Mishnah Berurah. In all areas of halacha, we have two types of achilu dasa. There's achilu dasa, which means not so in the mood. If you eat when you're not so in the mood, you're definitely yotze. It's not the most geshmak, not the mitzvah min hamufchar, but you're yotze. What if you like, I cannot eat a thing. I got my money's worth this $200 seder from the hotel. Can't eat a thing. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that achilu dasa. I don't want to eat anything. I can't. I feel so stuffed. But I stuffed myself to have matzah. It's ilu. I did not eat. It's as if I ate cardboard. Not yotze at all. So Mishnah Berurah says, just keep in mind, two levels of achilu dasa. If you have a little too much, you're yotzei the mitzvah anyway. It's just not yotzei mitzvah v'achikomen anyway. It's just not ideal. But if you really feel stuffed, you're not yotzei v'achikomen. It's as if you didn't eat all together. Tzafun, the achikomen. Famous machlokes, Tanoim, what is the final time to eat matzah? The achikomen. According to the Rabbanon, you can eat the entire night. According to Rabbi Ben Azariah, only till chatzos. Which is why we have the middle. We try to eat before Chatzos. It's interesting to note, there's a whole wealth of literature on the Tanai of Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer is a Tanai. He says, Avnei Nezer, what if it happens, like in many families, getting close to Chatzos, you didn't even finish Magid yet, what do you do? He says, make the Tanai. Once you finish Magid, you can eat an extra piece of matzah, a full piece of matzah, and have a Tanai. If the halacha is that I cannot eat until, that I have to eat the matzah until Chatzos, if you don't until Chatzos, this is my afikomen, that's it. If I can eat the whole night like the Rabbanon, then I'm going to eat Afikomen later, 2 o'clock in the morning, that's fine. After this Afikomen, I'm going to have a whole Shulchan Aruch. He says, no. Point to Rabbi Ben Azariah that says that you only can eat Afikomen until Chatzos, then the idea of ein matir nachar pesach habikomen, that I can't eat anything until after chatzos, I can't eat anything after the habikomen, only applies to chatzos. Once a chatzos comes, it's like the next morning, and I can still eat. Therefore, eat a little bit of matzah maker tonight, and everything is okay. This is chak. Some like it, some hate it, but that's an interesting idea of the Ibn Ezer, what to think about. Then Barik, Shulchan says a very interesting phenomenon. Only time in all of halacha we find mitzvah lachzer achar zimun, 25. The doctor tried to find a mezumin. The doctor, we have one time we've tried to not have a mezumin, an Eretz Tisha B'Av. The doctor finds a mezumin, says Mishnah Berurah, no, don't read that incorrectly. The Chacham say the pshat is in finding a zimun is not qua benching, it's qua halel. It's important to have one person say halel and two people answer, because if I say halel and just you answer, then it's not really answering, and that's not really answering. You need to have a chazan and a kahal. Kahal means at least more than the chazan. So you should have a zimun not for the barif, but for the halal, which is afterwards. Speaking of halal, halal source 27, halal should be read before chatzos. What's on halal before chatzos? Almost no one does this, except for some great tamid chacham and some others have this custom to do it, but why is it halal should be after chatzos? Should be before chatzos? The drush says, oh, very simple reason, nothing to do with the halal. What do you say halal on? Fourth kos. Fourth kos should be specifically before chatzos. But it seems the Ran says no, it's something to do with, nothing to do with the post, it's because of the Haggadah itself, halal itself. Why? It seems Pshat in the Ran is based on Rashi. Rashi in the Talmud Vav says, Lechem Oni means we say on the Matzah, we say the Haggadah and the Halal. According to Rav Nazaria that says that Chatzos is when Matzah expires, if I say Halal after Chatzos, then I'm making my Matzah not so ideal. Therefore, the Ramah says, Lechatzkiwa, say Halal before Chatzos. Again, it's a Chumrah which unfortunately nowadays most of us do not keep for two reasons, either the Drah or the Ran, because it enhances the Matzah. And Nirtza, the last point of Nirtza, specifically, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the tefillahs and we say Chad Jadiyah, which seems to be a very interesting pismum. Chad Jadiyah, there are great Dalai Akron that suggest different Shatman Chad Jadiyah, but what is the deep concept of Chad Jadiyah, even if the Pshat and the Yachanim are right, represents Chalizor, represents different ideas of the Shechina, but why is it so hidden? L'chara Pshat of Chad Jadiyah, why it's such a hidden remez to Jewish history, to the future, to Mashiach coming, to Hashem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get rid of all the detrimental situations which hurt our Avot Hashem, is the Ramban says at the end of Parshas Bo, very famous Ramban. Ramban says, why is it that we're so obsessed with Yetzias Mitzrayim? We have a Yontif Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have the only Aseid that the person that's Tarius on is Karban Pesach, aside from Mila, and perhaps, and a person is required to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim twice a day. We have Shabbos and so many mitzvot of Yetzias Mitzrayim, says the Ramban, because Yetzias Mitzrayim is the batteries which give us perspective every single day of our lives. Only once every few thousand years does Hashem change the entire Teva. But says the Ramban, by keeping in mind that once in the lifetime of Klal Yisrael, Hashem changed the Teva, it reminds us that when I look outside and see it's night, I see that today's the first day of spring, and it's going, things are going to change. I see flowers blossom. I see snow melt. I see myself breathe. Says the Ramban, those are no less mitzvos than he sees with trying. Says the Ramban, in his immortal words, from the great miracles of the Moda, Banisim Anastarim, a person admits that the miracles of life that you and I see are no less miracles than he sees with trying itself. Shem Yisod, HaTorah Kula. So L'chorah, the concept of Chad Jadiyah is to remind us that sometimes in life, we can see things that are totally Teva. We have a Didi, and we see the natural events. If you don't watch the Didi, then tigers eat the Didi. And then people get upset at the tigers. People get upset, people shech cows. All these things happen. It's normal. People live, people die, says the Chad Jadiyah. Take the lesson of the Seder. Remember, not only is Yisrael Mitzrayim a major miracle that happened, every single aspect of our lives, even the most banal Teva, are no less miracles than Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, and that's the spiritual energy for Klal Yisrael of the entire year. We should be zocheh, as the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, not only do we see miracles, Nisan Gedolim, in the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Hashem promises us, Ki Mei Tzeischem, Eretz Mitzrayim, as the days we left Mitzrayim, Erenu Neflos, which we've seen Neflos, V'vinyan, V'yisa Shlishi, V'nochel Shom, and Azochem, and V'sochem, and Heira, V'yomein.
Yo, it's married? All those, everyone's married? Yeah.